Season 2, Episode 19, Boxer Rebellion opens up with a little bit of sparring between James Martinez and... It's Arthur Fancy. I always think his name's James, but it's Arthur Fancy.
Yeah, his name is Arthur. Why would you think his name is James?
I don't know. I always get his name racist. Confused.
You're racist.
What's racist about thinking his name is James?
Mm-hmm. You just think all black people are named James?
There's LeBron James.
It's his last name, not his first name.
There's James McAvoy. We all know he's secretly black.
Black and British, or Scottish, or whatever. His dumb heritage is.
Idris Elba, because no one can say his name right. Sometimes he goes by James.
So we're just calling him James James?
Anyway,
Idris Elba changed his name to James James?
The cops are sparring, and it's getting a little out of control. Arthur Fancy's taking it a little too hard onto James Martinez.
Yeah. I don't know what you want me to say about that. He knocks him over, and then they both get kind of pissy at each other.
And then we're into the titles. My name's Kirk, the other voice is Kyle, and this is NYPD Blue Balls. Playing the theme song. It's a holdover from the old Asher Brothers podcast days when we played the theme song and then talk after it.
But you just talked over it. You messed everything up.
Oh, they know the theme song to NYPD Blue. If they're fans of the show, they know what it's all about. I've been mentioning that if you wanted to tweet at us at Asher Bros Pod or Instagram, Asher Brothers Podcast, or email us asherbrospodcast@gmail.com, we'll talk about what you'd like to on the show. And a gentleman on Twitter, he mentioned in the opening that as a boxer, James is pretty awful, and said he doesn't believe he is the best candidate to represent the precinct in the tournament.
That's fair enough. I mean, he's also, like, the least athletic of them, too.
He is. Well, he's flying James Martinez.
Yeah, this flying is donuts into his mouth.
This is the same James Martinez that jumped out of the window.
Yeah, just because you jump out of a window doesn't mean you're athletic. It means you're an idiot. So there's a difference. The Rock taught me that last night when I watched Baywatch.
Okay. Well, we don't need to talk about Baywatch, for sure. I don't need to talk about Zac Efron, Dwayne Johnson vehicles, and a bunch of attractive models that don't really need to speak. That's not their point of being there.
We talked a whole lot, though.
So after the opening, there's a case involving a dead fireman.
Yeah.
And they believe it's arson, so now it's technically murder because the fireman died while fighting the fire.
Mm-hmm.
An informant is involved because he thinks he heard something from a bar patron, and that informant...
Joey Pants.
Famous face Joey Pants is Vinny.
Joey Pantalone? Is that how you say his name? Pantaloons?
Pantaleone?
Pantaloons? Joey Pantaloons?
I just call him Cypher from Matrix.
I just call him... Fuck that movie.
First one's good.
That whole trilogy is better than the Star Wars trilogy.
Which Star Wars trilogy?
All trilogies?
That's not true.
It's 100% true.
Anyway, so Joey Pants comes in. He starts, you know, working the room, thinking that he's, like, hot shit.
Yeah, he's a good character actor. And I'm glad. I like that he gets along with Fancy. But it's nice because it shows you, like, a glimpse into Arthur's past. Because you don't really know much about his time as a beat cop or a detective. You only know him as the lieutenant. This also is when we meet Diane Russell.
Because they want to get an undercover to get information out.
For the first time.
They want to use an undercover to get information out of
this guy. They want to go undercover to talk to the guy that Joey Pants thinks has the info about the fire.
And they want to do this by tricking him into buying or selling her cocaine.
Or something, yeah. Just getting him caught up so he feels like he owes them one.
Also, did you feel like the guy looked like John Travolta?
Yeah, oh, 100%. But like a dirty version of John Travolta. Like a porno version. Like if they did the porno version of Pulp Fiction, he would be hired to be John Travolta's character. Or like Battlefield Earth. He would be hired to be his, like, stunt double. But, yeah, I think he comes back in another episode, too, if I remember correctly.
And the real crux of this episode is...
The real horcrux.
We're not talking Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
the real crux of the episode is the question, is it okay to trick a guy into committing a crime to leverage him to for information on a different crime?
Always.
Because that's what they do. They trick this dude, because they make it really like a, oh, well, just do us a little, just do her a little favor, and then they bust him for selling drugs, and he's never been arrested before.
And yeah, he's never really done anything wrong, he's just an idiot, basically.
And then when he rolls in, he's like, well, my friend didn't do anything, so why would I rat him out?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do anything, just like I didn't do anything. And Diane Russell shows, like, she's at least a decent person by saying, I'm not going to go forward with this.
Yes.
If we don't get anything out of this guy, because it's not fair what we did to him. Which, I don't really know what she expected. Isn't it like wasn't her job to show up and do this? Like, she didn't know that this is what would happen?
Yeah, but I don't think she was, I think she was of the mindset of, like, oh, I'm going to get information, but I'm not going to, like, destroy this guy's life, because he didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's her mindset. Like, he's not a bad guy, he's just kind of a dope. But he didn't do anything wrong, so why should I destroy his whole life by me, like, forcing him, basically, to buy cocaine from me, or for me, or get me cocaine type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
As we go into Diane's character, she shows up to be, you know, an undercover. Mm-hmm. She obviously takes a liking to Bobby and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And the seeds are planted for an arc because she orders...
Someone's trying to plant seeds.
Simone wants to plant some seeds in mm-hmm. Russell's garden.
Yes, he does.
She has a straight drink at, what was it, like 10 in the morning?
She has two. Doesn't she have two wine coolers when they're at pizza?
Well, she has two wine coolers of pizza, but then at the bar she has like a Bloody Mary and...
Oh, I didn't even think about that because she was in character.
Yeah, she was
think about her drinking before that, too.
Even Blank mentions, and Vinny tries to kiss her at the bar.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like getting fresh with her. Uh-huh. And even Diane's like, hey, fucker. Like, I could pretend to be somebody else kicking your ass. Okay. Like,
Vinny's always trying to get some, though. It's funny. No, he's trying to get extra.
Blank mentioned that with Diane being in this episode, there are three different actors in this episode of NYPD Blue that all worked on LA Law at the same time.
Who mentioned this?
Blank on Twitter.
His name is Blank?
Well, his name's Blank and Stuff.
Oh.
But he's off the grid. He doesn't want to use his real name. That's fine. I understand.
That's fine.
Completely.
You kept saying Blank. I thought you meant to say something else.
I'm omitting his name from the record.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Jimmy Smits, Kim Delaney, and Ray Abruzzo, the bartender, Bobo, John Travolta.
I didn't even know LA Law was a show.
Yes, yeah.
Who was on LA Law besides Jimmy Smits?
Oh, Kim Delaney, who was Russell.
Oh, shit, I didn't even know that either.
And the bartender.
Oh my god, you're the worst.
How am I the worst?
I meant, like, I know that those three are on the show, but who else was on the show of LA Law?
I mean, I don't know, I don't watch LA Law. I watch NYPD Blue.
That's like me going, Curry and Durant are on the Warriors. And you're like, who else is on the Warriors? So I'm like, well, Curry and Durant.
Iguodala. The other Splash Brother, I can't
Trey
remember.
Parker and Matt Stone created South Park. Who created South Park? Well, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Anyways, but that's interesting. But LA Law wasn't done by Bochco or anybody, right? They got poached.
Now I gotta do some research here. Andy's story is pretty dark, because Andy, in the beginning, talks to a husband and wife, convincing them that testifying would be okay, even though these guys, Burke and Gallagher, killed their dog.
Yeah.
And then later in the episode, they find the woman's body in, like, a field.
Was it in a field? Or
no, it was in, like, an abandoned...
car, right?
No, lot. It was, like, a bad abandoned lot in
New York, yeah.
She was just covered with debris, and I believe set on fire.
Yes, and all of her teeth were pulled.
And I think her fingers were cut off,
yeah, too. So they couldn't recognize who it was. Which is dumb, because there's this thing called blood.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Were you going to dispute blood?
I was going to say that...
You were going to dispute DNA. I can't believe that.
I didn't think about DNA. I just thought about blood. Like, they would just get the blood and be like, well, that's obviously her blood. I didn't even think about DNA for a second.
No, obviously they're going to test it and see everything. No, they're just going to get a vial and, like, look at it. Yeah, that's her blood. I know the color.
Yeah, that's Mrs. C. I know it anywhere.
Mrs. Whatever. That's her blood. It's a little crispy, but, get it?
Do you want me to read every single person that was on LA Law? Because, yeah.
No, just name, like, the top two. God damn. Like, name the...
This is a really off-the-rails kind
of... Like, just name the top person, build person in L.A. Law. Do you not have it ready to go, or are you just making it for wonderful podcasting?
Kyle, I'm looking at bunch of... Stephen Bochco was a producer on it.
Okay, well then there we go.
David E. Kelly was as well.
Well, the fuck a David E. Kelly. He writes his scripts on legal pads.
Created by Steve Bochco.
Oh.
The reason I got distracted is because... People that have been on L.A. Law include Don Cheadle, Jeffrey Tambor, Kathy Bates, David Schwimmer, J.O. Sanders, James Avery, I don't know who that is, Brian Cranston.
James Avery was the dad from Fresh Prince.
Oh no, I was thinking about another name that they mentioned after James Avery.
Who is it?
Gates McFadden.
Gaze McFadden?
Gates McFadden, like multiple Gates.
Like multiple Gays?
Yes, multiple Gays.
Multiple Gays McFadden.
Just running around destroying running America.
Running around McFadden Gays.
Kevin Spacey, Richard Schiff,
Carrie Ann House. The gays aren't destroying America. It's those illegal immigrants that are.
William H. Macy, Stephen Root, Christian Slater,
Kirk,
and Lucy Liu.
Kirk.
Vanna
Kirk,
White, Buddy
Kirk,
Hackett.
Kirk.
Mamie Van Duren. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Kirk. I just want a name of, like, an actor that has appeared on the, like, as a main character.
Corbin Burnson.
Corbin Burnson?
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck is Corbin Burnson?
Larry Drake.
No.
Harry Hamlin.
Corbin Burnson, who is that?
He's a dude that, if you saw his face, you know exactly.
Oh, he's in Major League. He was in Major League. He's also in, he's in Psych. Psych's a funny show.
I've heard that.
You would like it. Anyways, back to the show. Sipowicz is dealing with two weirdos who have kidnapped a lady and burned her alive.
One of them is the dude from The Rock.
Yes. And then the other one is slightly... One of them's mentally... One of them's not as smart as the other one. Like, there's, like, some learning issues there. Mm-hmm. And so, Sipowicz kind of uses him to get at the other one. He kind of, like, uses his stupidity to run circles around him so the other one can't sweet-talk him and try to get out of what they just did. And then while this is going on, Simone let the guy that they... falsely got to buy, well, the guy that they got cocaine from and then, like, tried to falsely arrest, Simone let him go. So, mm-hmm. But Simone basically, like, put it in his head that this dude was not a good dude and, like, he needs to think about it and, like, use his conscience and do what's right. And so it causes that guy to, like, mentally, like, kind of freak out, and he's constantly coming back and forth to the precinct to talk to them about talking to the guy. And the more he talks to the guy, the more he kind of slowly finds out that the guy might have done it. Because Simone lets him go, and then the guy basically turns his friend in without kind of knowing it. But then realizes that when he does turn his friend in, his friend gets all pissed off, so then he has to, like, move.
It's one of those things where the guy only wanted to help somebody, and then he slowly becomes just entrenched in... like, a tragedy where he has to leave.
The way he acts, he thinks that his friend would never do anything like that. And then his friend treats him like shit, and I think he realizes, like, oh shit, this guy's kind of an asshole.
And he gets it from both angles. He gets it from the cops, he gets it from these criminals.
Yeah, he's kind of fucked, because both sides treat him like shit to get what they want. And he's kind of stuck in the middle. It's like James Franco in 187 Hours. Stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Get it? Get it?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Something Blank mentioned, which I definitely wanted to bring up.
Can we just give him a name?
I don't know his name.
Can we call him, like, Steven?
His name on Twitter is Blank and stuff. So, I mean, I'm just going to call him Blank forever. He said something that I thought, too. Diane and Bobby have sex on their first date.
They do?
Yeah. And this guy said, is that possibly because she was deep undercover and, like, vice and terrible things, and that's how she knows how to get close to another dude? And we know that this is an issue because later in later episodes we get some people from her past.
No, I think she's just, like, Simone letting the guy go got her so wet, she was just ready to go. Because what you see, like, she's all about, like, not doing it, and then Simone lets him go. And then Simone catches the guy who did it, like, and then she even says, like, thanks for saving my career. So I think that got her all ready to go, and then they just went at it.
It's also interesting that in this episode, like, Diane is, she shows up for this assignment. Then she shows up the next day.
Yeah.
And it has that moment where Simone asks
John.
Yeah. He asks John, hey, could you look up the number to that department for me?
OCCCB.
And as he's looking that up, Diane Russell walks in and then says basically, yeah, my boss thought you might need another collar or another sting. And then he's like, really? He's like, yeah, because that's what I told him.
Yeah, at least that's what I told him.
And then, like, later in the episode, Fancy is talking to, I don't think it was the chief of D's. I don't know who it was. But he's like, yeah, she's interested in moving. I'd like to have her in the squad because we have an opening.
Yeah.
But something like that on NYPD Blue usually took, like, 3 episodes to accomplish.
Yeah.
The idea, like, oh, we're going to have a new detective. Like, that usually takes a while. Like, even James in season 1 took forever for him to be like, oh, he's gone a couple jobs with us. Oh, he's doing a great job. Now he's promoted.
Yeah, that's true. And she just kind of got it.
She just, like, was in a couple times and then in.
And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, we need her. Let's just do it.
They really wanted her on the show fast because, like, her and Bobby go to lunch and they set the seats for her alcoholism again because she has 2 wine coolers.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you going to tell on me, Bobby? And he's like, oh, I'm not going to think about it.
Yeah. She makes it awkward. Like, if she wouldn't have said anything, I don't think he would have said anything or, like, done anything about it. But she makes it awkward and just, like, brings it up, like, oh, what are you going to say? Are you going to rat me out, you little bitch? You know, type thing.
That's how she talks to Simone.
So, what's his name?
What's his name?
Sipowicz is still looking for these guys. Or still trying to pin it on these guys. So they get a search warrant for the apartment, and they go in. And Sipowicz finds her teeth.
Well, no, he plays them off of each other.
Yeah,
and then the less intelligent of the two says, look, if I'm the one that did this, you explain why he has her gold teeth in a coffee can.
Yeah.
So then Sipowicz kind of throws it down, obviously goes back to the house, comes back, and he delivers a pretty solid monologue to this guy, calling him like a criminal genius. And he's like, yeah, you really
he's
got this.
He's giving him a ton of shit, basically.
And then he just pulls the coffee can out and puts the teeth on the table and kind of just hammers home the coffin like, yeah, you're fucked. You're fucked, yeah. And I hope you enjoy it, and you're going to go to prison. I hope you really thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was I like when Simone...
Sipowicz,
sorry. I liked when Sipowicz was like, giving him a hard time. Like, I like when he was, like, protecting... Because, like, I like the monologue he delivers calling him an evil genius. Because he's like, you're what I read about in books. Evil geniuses. I thought that was really funny.
It was a good Sipowicz episode because it was him in the room alone just going at it.
Yeah. And he was bouncing back and forth.
The gentleman who messaged us,
mm-hmm.
He said that the guy from The Rock wins most shredded suspect ever because he gets him, like, naked, and he was, like,
yeah,
perfectly toned and weird. Like, skinny toned, too.
But he was, like, meth toned. He was, like, meth head toned.
Meth toned.
Yeah, he was definitely, like, meth head toned.
I love the idea of going to a gym. And you're like, well, what kind of shape are you looking at? I'm looking into getting meth tone.
I'm looking at meth tone today.
Looking like I do meth, but I'm also, like, in shape.
Yeah.
One of the quotes from this episode is between John and Vinny. And according to Blank, this is the best exchange of the show.
Okay.
Vinny sniffs John and says, what's your name? John. John, you wearing fruit juice? I do use a scented soap by Carl Lagerfeld.
Lagerfeld, yeah.
If you know who he is. No, I don't know him, but now I know what this Lagerfeld guy smells like.
It was okay.
Vinny's just a cool dude, and did, I think he was muscling for money, too, at the end of it. Like he does in every episode he's in.
Yeah.
He always tries to muscle more money out
but
of
But he's, like, that's what he's trying to do. He's a, he is a, what's the word? He's a con artist.
That's how he lives.
Yeah, even though, like, still kind of a good guy and does the right thing in a sense of, like, trying to help solve crimes and stuff, but it's always looking out for what he gets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's looking for. And we'll see that with all the informants they have. All the informants are kind of just looking for their own thing. They're not necessarily looking to do the right thing.
It's also mentioned that James is right now preparing for a boxing tournament. And at the end, James and Arthur Fancy kind of come to an agreement. Like, maybe we shouldn't spar, but maybe I could be your coach. So yeah. I don't have to keep hitting you.
Yeah, because I think Fancy realized that if they keep working out together, he's going to punch him.
Punch him hard.
Yeah, and like mean it, because he keeps getting frustrated with him.
One reason you may like this episode, Medavoy appears in it, but has no dialogue whatsoever.
Yeah, he's barely in it. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I'm just reading in my notes. This episode ends with the softcore of Simone and Russell.
Yeah, that's one of the... It's awkward. This is when, like, it's like they're forcing, like, sex scenes of Simone and Russell down our throat for the next, like, 3 or 4 episodes. Until they get into a fight. And then you see a bunch of Simone ass in the twilight. Like, with a glistening moonlight of him in the friggin' window. His ass is all out all the time. Anyways...
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward episode, and even it's mentioned here in this message we got sent that it's mostly about the relationships between characters. And
yeah,
it is the first episode of Russell. I mean, it's just weird because the show usually, like, takes time to introduce stuff.
Uh-huh.
It seems like this character, they're like, well, we want to get her in, so let's get her in.
Like, yeah, like, let's go, we need her in now, let's do it.
Which I feel like even if you did have her a bunch in this episode and a bunch in the next one, you could write it to where it's not so sudden. Like, I feel like they did that with James. Like, every episode with James was like, hey, James, are you free from anti-crime? Could you help us out with this? It wasn't like James is just a part of the crew now.
Yeah, it took him a while. Like, he, like, started in the summer and he didn't get his badge until December. It was a mm-hmm. Christmas present. It took mm-hmm. him a while, and, like, what's his name was, like, teaching him the ropes, and red-haired guy.
Medavoy?
No. Caruso.
Oh, yeah. Red hair. Because you insist that Medavoy's ginger, and I don't think he is.
He is ginger. He has red hair. Yeah, and I think, what's his name, Caruso was teaching him along the way and helping him become a better detective, and, like, granted, Diane Russell was in undercover advice or whatever, but that's not the same thing as being a detective, you know what I mean? And she doesn't really even do any detective work, she just does her undercover work, and then they're like, oh man, she's awesome. It's like, how do you know? She hasn't done anything. She's been here one day, and she was undercover. She did what she's good at. But, like, we're not seeing any detective work here. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
It's almost like Arthur Fancy was like, hey, I know Simone's gonna want to have sex with that. Let's get it in close proximity. And I mean, he kind of deserves it. He lost his wife. He's one of the best detectives we have.
Yeah. That's true.
He's navigated the dangerous waters of being Sipowicz's partner.
Well, he hasn't navigated them yet. He's still well, I mean, got some things to learn.
It's not happening right now, but he's gonna be his best man.
That's true. That is true.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls and Asher Brothers Podcast is on asherbrotherspodcast.com. Could also be accessed through mixedbagofhats.com if you choose to go there, which is filled with tons of other stuff. If you want to talk about certain episodes, you can go to Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, go to our Instagram, Asher Brothers Podcast, or email us at asherbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. I will post on Twitter and maybe Instagram when we're going to be recording episodes. And if you get to us late, I'll just put a little footnote at the end of the episode, because I edit these right before they go out.
Right on.
Have a good one.
Next episode has one of my favorite returning characters.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know who that is?
If you don't know, you'll just have to tune in for it.
Alrighty.
Alrighty.
There's nowhere to watch it online. That's a pretty easy streaming service.
YouTube.
So you can watch it on YouTube, but it cuts out the ending by about 30 minutes.
It's better. So what's better, to not watch 57 minutes of it, or to ignore the whole 60 because you can't see the last three?
Fair enough, Kyle.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough, Kyle.
No, but you know what I mean, though?
I do know what you mean.
Might as well see it.
Have a good one, everybody.